there's going to be some effect in the future by all this positivity and limiting failure that kids are facing. If they don't overcome things, they're not going to get to that next level of growth.
You can't just be parents. You need to remember that you're a partner too, not just a dad and a mum. The number one thing that I tell boys in the group is everyone sees in movies that as soon as your child's born, you've got feelings of like just attachment and you feel all this emotion for your child. Some people, you need to grow those attachments and grow that bond with your child. That's probably the biggest experience I'll get out of that.
Welcome to the Better Bloke Podcast. I'm Maddie.
I'm Rob.
And we're just a pair of average blokes on a mission to try and be a little bit less average.
We're going to speak about all things highs and lows of what it feels like to be a bloke, plus speak to some legends along the way about what it takes to be a better bloke. Let's get stuck in.
We're not like most potties when it comes to advertising, but with the events on the horizon, we are working with the partners who share a vision and support the Better Blokes to make this happen. The blokes over at Boutique Business House believe in the cause and have been day oneers helping us navigate the business and financial side of the whole charity endeavor. They are a full service business advisors, offer business accounting and bookkeeping, can help you sort out your personal insurance for life, income and personal disability, and also have you sorted for mortgages for either residential or commercial. They can be an outsourced CFO for your business or as fully certified as personal financial advisors. If any of that might be of interest to you, find the link to Boutique Business House in the description of our website to support the blokes who support us. Boys and girls, welcome back to the fifth episode of the Better Bloke Podcast. And on this one, we're going to jump into a topic that I know bugger all about, and that is fatherhood. But before we get stuck into that, what do you reckon? Five episodes in, we've given the set a little refresh. How's the feedback and whatnot been going that you've been seeing out and about?
Feedback has been very positive. It's also been very critical, which has been good. That's what we want. We want constructive criticism. So appreciate everyone that's reached out and told us what we're doing well, what we're not doing well. There's been a lot more doing well than not doing well though, but I think like we've said the first few times, it's going to take a little while for us to find our feet. This is a new setup for us, a new way of going to the audiences, and we're rolling through it.
How good is constructive criticism? I got a comment the other day that just said transsexual.
I mean, is it true? This is the platform to do it. Do you want to tell the world?
Come out? Like, I'm assuming they meant a woman that is now a man, but I would be a very big woman to become a man, or vice versa.
Or is it that you're a pretty bloke?
I think it's because I got long hair and they're very maybe...
confused?
Confused, yeah. I'm going to take it as a self-reflection on their own identity.
That's completely up to them.
Yeah, I mean, they can do what they want to do.
They can.
Fatherhood.
Fatherhood.
Let's jump in.
Something transsexuals can't do.
It depends which way you're going.
Yeah. Look, let's just tone it back a little bit with that.
Yeah.
They can if they want.
Okay. I don't have any kids. So I'm going to throw most of this over to Rob. We're going to talk about his journey going through fatherhood, the ups, the lows, the hard bits and the good bits as well.
Yep.
So let's kick it off. Like, tell me, what's your situation? Kids, how long you had them? How old are they?
How long have I had them?
I don't know.
I mean, had them for a little while. Yeah. Not something you buy. How do you get them? So when a mummy and a daddy love each other very much and are financially stable, they go to the baby shop and they buy babies.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. So you got two kids. How old are
they? Two kids. So I've got an 8-year-old boy and a 2-year-old girl. And they are total opposites of children. So little B, the 2-year-old girl, is a firecracker would be the best way to describe her. So she is very, very tiny, but carries herself in a way that you would think she's 6 foot tall and bulletproof.
She's the sweetest little thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, but you only see her sometimes. You don't see her headbutting me.
No, and she's very quiet when I see her.
Yep, very quiet until she's not.
Mm.
Then it's chaos.
So, like, how long were you with the missus before you sort of had kids? And then how old were you when Hemi came along?
Okay, when Hemi came along, I was 24. Yeah, just before my 25th birthday. and we had been together for, shit, now you're making me do math. I'm no good at math.
Jess is going to be real mad.
She's not going to be happy. Since 2009. So what's that?
You're making me do maths now.
Yeah, I'm just offloading it onto you.
A few years, so?
A few years. It had been a while. So, like, it wasn't just as if it was wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Hey, I've got a shit pull out game. There was a time that we'd been together and, you know, we'd planned it all as much as you can. You can never plan parenthood, though.
Yeah, so do you recall sort of those feelings when you're like, oh, shit, she's pregnant, this is happening, and my life's about to change?
So because Hemi, like, we'd had those conversations and we thought we were ready and all that sort of stuff, it doesn't happen straight away. That's probably something not a lot of people talk about, is you can plan to, yep, okay, sweet, we're ready to have kids, and then you're pretty much going by the month, like, oh, shit, it didn't work this month. You sort of feel a bit bummed. And if it's, like, been a couple of months that, you know, the seed doesn't sow itself, you get, I don't know, this little bit of a dark thought in the back of your head. You're like, oh, shit, you know, maybe I've got shit swimmers, or maybe eggs aren't good and all that sort of stuff, which it's not, just sometimes things don't work out exactly how you plan it. So obviously this all worked out, but it wasn't bang, yep, on the day that we decided, it didn't eventuate from there. So I don't know. I think that's probably a good thing to mention to a lot of boys, that if you are planning to have kids, it may take a little while. It may not, but yeah, don't go thinking that because it doesn't happen straight away, yeah, you got shit wrong with you.
So you were in, I guess, that kind of good position because you were actually trying.
We were.
So when the news came along, it's like, hey, we did what we were trying to do. So it's less, oh shit, and more like, okay, it's happening.
Yep.
And then did it sort of change from there? You're like, the time's on, we got 8 or 9 months to like get some stuff sorted, or did you have to, I don't know, make any big changes in life when that news came around?
Not really. You sort of, I mean, like you do, you obviously you got to do your planning and you got to get all your baby stuff and whatnot. But I feel like in that time, there wasn't a big amount of change that we did. So I think I didn't actually, no, I'll lie. I did. I ended up changing jobs. So
yeah.
Yeah, it was a big change.
Why did you change jobs?
I think it was just with all the changes that were happening, something in my head went, you need to change what you're doing. There was no big financial reward from it. It was literally just a career change. So maybe that was something subconsciously in my head, maybe go, oh, perhaps you need more stability, or you need a job that's not just driving a truck, carting furniture. Not that there's anything wrong with that. You know, as long as you've got a job that's paying the bills, it's all good. But yeah, well, that's when I moved from, you know, like driving trucks, carting furniture, doing deliveries and pickups to sales. So I think that perhaps I saw that there was more of a life work balance in that field, perhaps. Yeah, I'm not entirely sure. You're making me actually think about why I'm doing stuff, which is very unlike me. Well, I just do it.
We've been telling people to think about their actions.
We have, so.
Preferably not 8 years after the fact.
No. Hindsight's a great thing, though.
Yeah, I think the time factor probably might have played into it a lot, because you do sort of, I imagine that you have to think about where your priority is going to be, and you know priorities are going to shift to the family, because obviously there's the wife, which already takes time, but, you know, there's this whole baby that you got to look after and you want to spend time and do all those things, and the career has to somewhat match that.
I think that with that, now knowing after you have kids, you go, yep, sweet, you know, your priorities change. Leading up to it, you have it in the back of your head, but you don't actually realize that there is going to be changes. So you can plan for it as much as you want, but when it actually happens, it's like a switch flicks. And you go, okay, I need to do this, 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 this now, which that may just be me because I'm fairly unorganized. But yeah, I think as soon as Hemi came along, it was just like, bang, okay, like priorities change. I need to do this now. I need to do this. I need to do this. And it just all rolls on from there.
Yeah. I don't think you're alone in that, because we see posts quite a lot where guys have like a 1 week old or like under a month and they're just like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
Boys, save me. Give me some advice. Like, is this normal? I feel like I'm not doing anything right.
And that is so normal. Like, I think they are probably my favorite posts that we see, because not only have I felt that, but so many boys feel it, but they probably don't speak about it or voice it as much as like women probably do. Like, mothers are very vocal in how they feel and whatnot. And this probably takes us back to the way that blokes operate, is we sort of just get through it, how we do it. So whenever those posts do arise, it's really good to see a whole bunch of boys come together and go, hey, shit, I felt this way. This is what I did. It got me through that. And everyone sort of just leans on each other.
So you kind of were playing it pretty cool and collect, like, oh yeah, there's some change and you deal with it. But you did go through some sort of moments where you're like, oh my God. Like,
definitely. Everyone goes through those moments where you go, what the fuck do I do?
Can you recall any of them with Hemi?
Not so much with Hemi. Hemi was, he was chill as shit. He still is. Like, he's so chill. But definitely, probably definitely maybe a couple of months after, but it wasn't really so much with relating to Hemi. It was probably more relating to Jess, is that obviously when pregnancy happens and childbirth happens and whatnot, like, hormones just run wild through women, and a lot of the boys don't know how to deal with that. I mean, I sure as shit didn't.
Most of the boys don't have a good idea of how to deal with women that don't have pregnancy hormones going on.
Yeah, look,
it's not easy.
It's not. There's no book. I think a lot of women don't know how to deal with hormones that are going on, but I don't know how we're supposed to deal with it then.
So what's your top bits of advice for, I guess, being a good partner in that situation? Child aside.
Child aside, which is probably the number one thing that I tell boys in the group, is you need to remember that you're a partner too, not just a dad and a mum. Like, you can't just be parents. Once you just become parents, you forget pretty quickly that you just have to maintain that spark, essentially. So, like, plan date nights, do all that sort of stuff, and just keep the spark alive, because that's probably the priority to keeping a family together, not so much just being there as mum and dad. So that's probably my top tip for the boys that are listening that haven't read me comment that about 3 million times already over the last couple of years.
I've seen that comment a few times. If we fast forward a few years to sort of when B came around.
Yes.
Right? Because that was probably a more character testing time for you.
That one was chaotic. Very, very different way to come into the world for B, and probably very much why she has the personality that she has. So B came into the world at just before 28 weeks. So for those that aren't fully around pregnancies and whatnot, you know.
Please define it.
A standard pregnancy is 40 weeks. So 28 weeks is fairly early. That then all started the week beforehand when, you know, Jess went into hospital and some shit wasn't going right, which resulted in going back to Lifeblood. And while I'm a big supporter of Lifeblood, Jess needed transfusions, and obviously that helped keep her alive and keep B alive. So shout out to all our Lifeblood donors. Appreciate them. But yeah, she came into the world with so many doctors around us, you know, emergency C-sections, all that, which is the same as Hemi, but it was a very different scenario being with how early she was. So that you sort of, and I think this is probably something else that I talk to a lot of the boys in the group about, is because of how she came into the world, I didn't have that emotional connection with her straight away. Like, my entire worries were about Jess, because I was like, shit, you know, nothing's going right here. How are we going to get through this? Blah, blah, blah. She came in so early. So I don't know if it was part of me just going, Jess is my priority, because I don't know what's going to happen with B. But that bond that B&I got, that formed over time. It wasn't like an instant thing that, say, me and Hemi got when he was first born. So that's probably something to tell the boys listening, and even for the mums, like, everyone sees in movies that as soon as your child's born, you've got this automatic feelings of, like, just attachment, and you feel all this emotion for your child, which that's not the case. Like, not for everyone. Some people, you need to grow those attachments and grow that bond with your child. So that's probably the biggest experience I'll get out of that. But yeah, that the way that she came into the world was chaos. So that was 70 days in NICU, special care unit.
Yeah, so we're not talking about a 30-hour labor. Like, this was extended periods of you having to sit through. Like, how much time was it?
I think so. Overall, it was 71 or 72 days. We were, like, back and forth from the hospital. So, which we've given them a shout out a few times, but shout out Queensland Health. The nurses and midwives and doctors there were unreal.
Was she sort of having to stay in some intensive care type unit for a period?
Yeah. So NICU is like the neonatal, I guess, like, intensive care unit. So she spent. Jess will probably kill me for this one, not knowing the exact dates. But we were in NICU for a considerable amount of time, and then came out for the last few weeks into special care unit, which is then not in, like, the little incubators and all that sort of stuff. But both of those units were unreal. So, and we've seen a few posts, boys posting up about, you know, their time in NICU and special care, and some boys, just by seeing other blokes in shirts, they've gotten around each other and caught up. And I think that's a big thing. Not a lot of boys will talk to each other about that sort of stuff. But, I mean, it's hard for blokes to go through too, not just seeing your child in that situation, but there's nothing that you can really do during that period that you can help your missus with. And it's a pretty hard thing to go through, because you're like, oh shit, all I want to do is help, and you can't. So I think it's good to lean on other boys in that situation that you can sort of share, like, oh, hey, I did this, I did this, I did this. And they can go, oh, okay, I haven't done that, or I've done that, but I did it this way. This might work better for you. So I think that's a pretty important thing to reach out if you're going through any of that shit.
Yeah, I just cannot imagine trying to go through that with a kid. Like, I don't have a kid. I don't know. I know if I got heavy stuff going on, and I'm talking about, like, the podcast is going off tomorrow morning as the thumbnails, right?
Mm.
It's not even comparable, but
but even then, I'm doing that now too.
Yeah.
So it's, once you go through it, it's like, it just goes to the back of your mind, and it becomes a story that I'm thankful that we're having to fuck around with podcasts, thumbnails and whatnot, because it gives us a platform to be able to speak to everyone about that. So that guys aren't really feeling that they can't talk about it.
But in the moment, like, you lay up in bed and you got the thoughts training about, what if this happens? What can I do to make this better? I can't do anything. How does that make me feel? Obviously, like, if you're going through 70 days of this intensive care, like, that's a pretty prolonged time to be dealing with all those feelings. Like, what were you sort of doing to manage that and, like, I don't know, keep yourself father sort of position? I imagine you were, like, pretty adamant on being strong for Jess and Hemi.
Definitely. I think that was probably – see, it was more so Jess did a lot of that, like, a lot of the going up to the hospital daily and all that sort of stuff, where we're lucky that we've got the support network around us that we do, because that made it so much easier for, you know, getting Hemi picked up from school, or, you know, dropping him off if Jess wanted to go up to the hospital early and all that sort of stuff. So, because obviously I was still working at that point, so you got to put food on the table, you got to do what you can do, and I'd just stop in after work and read bio books and whatnot. But you need to keep your composure there, but not just push it so far down that it just affects you in a way that you don't know how to deal with it. So, and that sort of goes back to what I was saying before. If you see anyone that you know is in that situation, like, you may not know them personally, but if they're in that same situation as you, like, reach out and talk to them. Like, have the balls to go up to someone and go, hey, you know, g'day, mate. I see you're in this, you know, that's my daughter, son over there going through it too. Do you want to go downstairs and have a coffee or something like that? Because you don't know if that person's been wanting to do that. They may not have the courage to do it. So, I don't know, just reach out to people in the situation that you're going through and you might be able to sort of draw some strength off each other from that.
Mm. Yeah, it's just, I'm sure there's a lot of guys listening that can relate. Like, we see posts quite a lot about, you know, sick kids, disabled kids, or just hardships of fathers dealing with kids. And it definitely seems like the shared experiences back and forth gives, you know, them a bit of a support network to talk about.
Yeah, and I think it's the because you've got so much emphasis on like being the dad, you need to find guys that feel like that too. So, and that's why you see like whenever those posts go up, they are usually some of our most engaging posts that we have because everyone just gets around it and you can't help but feel proud for having kids. Obviously it's not for everyone. Like you don't have any kids, but you know.
Yeah, no kids.
No kids. So like, I don't know. I just sort of, the only way I can sort of relate to that would be that, I don't know, if your dog does a cool trick or something, you're proud of your dog.
Yeah, because I trained it.
Yeah, well, that's like same kids. Thing. Yeah, 100%.
So what you're saying, I'm pretty much one of those guys that does have the fur babies.
Fur babies. But,
like, I've gone through stages throughout my life where I'm like, when I was younger, I really, really wanted kids down the track. And then I got to down the track and it's like, do I actually want them? Like all this sort of stuff. And it's like, I still couldn't tell you that I don't want kids or I do want kids.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm indifferent about either way because I can see my life panning out both directions kind of just fine.
Mm.
So I don't know. And I think there's a lot of guys in my position as well.
I think there would be more guys than you would think that are in your position, to be honest. There's guys that for different reasons they don't want kids or they have chosen not to have kids yet. Like exactly like you said, like it's just that you don't know yet. That's the thing.
There's 1,000 reasons to have kids and there's 1,000 reasons not to have kids.
Mm.
It is one of those sort of societal norms that, you know, you get married, you have two kids. So people sort of like see that as the next progression. And if you don't do that next progression, like you almost have to justify it, which like, you know, I'm 30, no kids. I've done the other things, the house and all that. So it's definitely something I've been asked about a lot. Like you having kids. It's like, I don't know.
Do you feel the pressure on you because of that? Like because you're getting asked all the time, because you've done everything else. And like you said, there is that society norm that everyone just goes, okay, you do that, and then that's your next step. Like that's got to put some pressure on you, doesn't it?
It used to, but like anything, after it happens over and over again, it's just sort of water off a duck's back. But I think it's just a weird thing, like asking why someone hasn't done something. And it's not like it's selfish because a kid doesn't exist. So it's not like I'm saying I'm not giving this kid a life because there is no kid.
Yeah.
Where like sometimes it feels like that from some people. And it gets trickier too as all your friends have kids. Because guess what they want to fucking talk about all the time?
Kids.
Not you.
Now you've just got me in shit. Why doesn't he talk about his kids all the time?
You talk about Hemi punching people out, which is a bit funnier.
Look, he's pretty good at boxing.
In the context of boxing.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just like shifting priorities in people's life. And I think as we all grow and get older and older, people move in different spades. I got plenty of mates that are 30 years old and have just decided and gone out and got a vasectomy. Like they're just straight up, I'm not doing this. It's not for me. I'm making the call. And I'm like, oh, that seems like a big call from my perspective. So
a vasectomy is reversible? I think they are.
Yeah, they are, but it's still like...
So it's a big decision to make.
It seems like a big decision.
But then also like you're saving on DOMS.
Yeah, like they're expensive too.
You're probably getting the big ones.
If you have a vasectomy, do you need to wear a DOM?
I mean, you still got to protect yourself from STDs.
We should get Queensland Health on the podcast. Second time we've asked Queensland Health, like, come talk to us, please. We need
reach out. But I don't know. I think it's, it all comes back to that individual want or need, not so much a need, because you don't want to bring kids into the world out of need. You definitely want to bring them into the world out of want, because then you're setting yourself up to put it out there as good as you can, I guess. So I think the important thing about, this is from my perspective anyway, when I think of how I'm raising kids, so look, I came from, it was always just me and mum growing up, so never had dad in the picture. But now that I'm a dad, that was actually probably something that semi scared the shit out of me before Hemi came. How do you be a dad when you haven't really had a dad? But I don't know, it's just sort of bred into you. You sort of do what you wish you had have had, if that makes sense. But then you also, you've got to sort of raise your kids in the sense that what I didn't have as a kid, which I still had shitloads, like mum did an unreal job. Shout out to the mums. Quick reminder that Mother's Day is coming up. Don't forget your fucking mums.
Postage, guys, it can take like a week. Mm. Order now, don't get yourself into trouble.
Or actually, not even just your mums. Do it for your missus. Do it for the mother of your kids, whether you're around them and together, whatnot, still shout out to the mother of your fucking children. So,
and it doesn't have to cost you too.
No.
Like, you can actually just do something nice. Ladies love that. Like, plan picnics, whatever. I don't know.
Write a nice letter.
Write a nice letter.
How you feel.
Yeah.
How much you appreciate them. All that sort of stuff that I'm no good at.
They need to
be. You can be good at.
Be seen and be heard. It is important.
Mm. Jumping back
to you growing up without a dad.
Yes. Okay. So we've got a bit off topic, but a very important topic nonetheless. So you sort of, the way that you want to do it is everything that you didn't have, that's what you want to give your kids. So you're essentially trying to set them up for more success than what you've got. So it's, I read a thing a little while ago, was you want to teach your kids to be the strongest in your blood, like strongest bloodline. No, what's the quote? Teach your kids to be the strongest your bloodline has ever seen. So that sort of resonates with me, that you just want to create greatness out of your kids and give them every opportunity to do so.
Well, I guess that's sort of like the compounding effect of generations, is that you need to instill all this stuff that you've learned through experience into your kid. And that's giving them the good stuff, but they hopefully have to make less of the mess ups to get there. And then they're going to go out and do the same thing and take that experience, and hopefully they'll make less mistakes and then learn more on top of their good mistakes.
Kind of. Obviously, I'm not against letting them make mistakes though. I guess it all comes down to parenting though. There's so many different types of parenting, but like, I will let Hemi go out there and do something wrong, obviously, if it's not going to injure him or like severely let him down in whichever way that he's trying to attempt something. But you need to let your kids fail so that they can learn that it's okay to fail. And it sort of helps build resilience, because that's something that I don't think too many kids have resilience these days. But that all just comes down to parenting, and just, you know, you got to teach your kids that like, shit gets hard. It's no different from what we tell blokes. Like, shit gets hard, it doesn't mean you give up. You keep pushing forward, keep pushing forward, keep pushing forward, and eventually you'll get through it and you'll succeed in what you're trying to do.
That's an interesting one, and I'm outside of the world of schools and daycare and all that, but it does seem that there's going to be some effect in the future by all this positivity and limiting failure that kids are facing. Like, if kids, I know most of my strength has come from a lot of failure, a lot of rejection, a lot of that sort of stuff. It doesn't seem like the natural thing to do to limit that in people, because it's limiting growth. Like, if they don't overcome things, they're not going to get to that next level of growth. Like, how are you seeing that happen, especially for a kid that's like 8, 9 years old, outside of what you're doing in the systems that he's in?
So for Hemi, he is fiercely competitive, and he probably gets that from me. I see everything in my life as competition. And I'm trying to harness that in him. That's a trait that you want all, not just boys, but all kids to have. You want all your kids to be competitive because that's a driving force to bringing the best out of them, essentially. I guess it goes back to that whole participation award type thing where everyone gets an award. I'm not a big fan of it, but at the same time, you sort of do need to encourage kids to actually give stuff a go, and if a participation award does that, good on them, but don't highlight the participation award kids. Highlight the first, second, third, and then just go, hey, good job, guys.
How do you deal with when he experiences failure or setbacks? Like, you've sent through photos where you've sort of pushed him into the ring at this boxing camp when he's first started, and literally like he's kind of getting flogged. How's he dealing with that? Does he like get all sad and you have to give him a little pep talk about how it's okay to get?
Always give him pep talks. So I will, whenever he has a hard day, I will pull him aside and be like, you know, how do you feel? And like during it or before it, he will be shitting bricks and be like, oh, you know, I'm excited to do it, but you know, I know it's going to be hard. But we've sort of spoken, and this is probably a conversation that makes it a little bit weird when you hear that you're telling an eight-year-old kid this. Like, we've spoken about endorphins and whatnot, and, you know, once you push through something hard, he knows that he feels good after he's just completed, like, a hard training session or something. And he goes, oh, yeah, I feel really good after it. Like, it sucked during it, but I feel great. And I'm like, yeah, you sort of explain as to why. So even at 8 years old, he understands that pushing through that hard stuff gives him a good feeling afterwards. So it sort of makes it easier for him to do so. He still obviously has his hard days and you need to pep your kids up and whatnot, but you don't want to just push your kid in. Like, at the moment, he's a bit overwhelmed with everything that he's got going on. So we're like, okay, look, we'll just take a step back from it a little bit. And we respect that we can take a step back from it. We're not going to be the parents that are like, greatness, greatness, greatness. At the end of the day, he's still a kid. So you got to respect that he's going to get tired. He's got school and all that sort of stuff too. So,
and that's going to do us for this one. So thanks very much for watching again. If you have any advice on being a first dad, drop a comment below or head over to our socials at Better Blokes and tell us what you think about sort of the trials and tribulations of being a dad.
So many people take so much advice from what you guys leave in the comments. So, you know, leave a comment for those that may not have the courage to do so. We'd appreciate that.
Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.
Be better. Thanks for tuning into today's episode of Better Bloke. If you got anything out of it, show some love by dropping a 5-star review below.
If you want to learn more about everything we're doing, head to the description, hit the links, and follow us on the socials. If you want to learn more about the project, head to betterblokeproject.org.